Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning. It's 7 minutes. Well, it's 4 minutes after the hour. It's March 7th. See, I'm a little ahead of myself, but I do that on occasion. It's National Cereal Day. I'm so excited to talk about this. So raise your spoons, grab the milk. It's time to enjoy your favorite bowl of breakfast cereal. For me, my favorite cereal would be grape nuts with sliced bananas on top. And then the problem with that is then you put your bowl in the sink and then you don't wash it for like 2 days or 3 days, and then you realize you just have to throw the bowl away because the remaining pieces of grape nuts will never come out of that bowl, ever. You can try what you like, but it's never going to happen. All right, Bill Inglis is in studio. We're going to talk today about Proverbs 11 and all of the great wisdom in Proverbs 11. And just here's, I'm going to wet the whistle a little bit. The Lord detests honest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So we're going to talk about that. Proverbs 11 with Bill Inglis. It's 5 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, I'm back and a little bit better. I was suppressing a cough right before I went to break, and that is a very panicky feeling when you're on radio and you have to suppress a cough. So you want to say what you need to say and then get off, but as you race through things, you end up saying stupid things like Bill Inglis just pointed out to me, that the start of Proverbs 11 says the Lord detests dishonest scales. He said, I said honest scales. So that's what happens when you have to cough. So anyway. Bill, welcome. Thanks for correcting me.
Oh, no worries.
And your favorite cereal is?
It's a cinnamon oats. It's no longer made by General Mills. They cut it out about 15, 20 years ago.
So what did you switch to? Count Dracula?
You know, I don't even know. It's a box that has a certain picture on it. I don't even know the name of the cereal, but my wife buys different cereals, and I just eat whatever she buys.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about Proverbs 11. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride in business, that happens a lot.
It does a lot.
And why shouldn't it for a lot of people that go, hey, look what I've built. This is successful.
You know the phrase.
What?
If you can do it, it's not bragging, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
If it's true, it's not arrogance, right? You know, so if I say, you know, I built this wonderful thing like the man in, I forget which chapter it is, but I'm going to build bigger barns, tear down the one I have and build bigger barns because it's got all this stuff, right? Well, if I can do it, it ain't bragging, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it is. Mm-hmm. Even if you can do it, it can still be... It can still be prideful. Look, the Lord abhors. I've been doing my devotions through. I've been reading through Proverbs and reading some commentaries. That's how I do devotions. I read commentaries. So, I'm in chapter 11 right now, and I just am finding that this is such an interesting chapter when it comes to business owners. Mm-hmm. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. What's a dishonest scale? It's where you would normally have a weight that would be exactly what it's supposed to weigh. Mm-hmm. And you put something up against it to see if it balances. Well, what if your weights are a little light? Or what if they're a little heavy, depending upon the purpose? The Lord abhors that. Mm-hmm. He abhors a weight that is either too heavy or too light.
All right, Bill, let me run this by you, because this, I would imagine, works both ways. Let's say I'm selling you wing nuts, all right? And I've been selling you wing nuts for quite a while, and I show up, and my wing nut estimate is 25% less than what I've been charging lately. Do you not say to me, hey, wait a minute, this is 25% less. What's up?
I do. I absolutely
do
say
go,
that to you.
Or you go, ooh, he might have made a mistake. I'm going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, that would be a dishonest scale.
Okay.
Okay, that would be a dishonest scale.
I'm just wondering if this is a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. Look, when I work with vendors, I want them to make some money. because I want them to be around to service me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to build a relationship with those vendors. So they come in with wing nuts at 25% off. I'm going, that probably isn't right. I need to be paying more. And or what's changed in the quality of your product that allows you to reduce it by 25%.
Mm-hmm. So you would have been upfront right away.
I would, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But dishonest scales includes not giving a full day's work for a full day's wage. Some candy bar companies, for example, will take a candy bar and they'll increase the size and then raise the price. And then over the next couple of years, they'll gradually decrease the size and keep the price the same. To me, that's a dishonest scale.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things, and anything that's fraudulent, really, mm-hmm. would
doesn't
be
that
dishonest.
Happen all the time, though? Don't you go to your favorite restaurant and you go, well, these portions seem a little smaller to me today?
Well, but yeah, and for a guy who's trying to lose weight, that's actually a good thing,
okay.
Right? You know,
but, yeah.
But from
if you're used to a certain thing,
you are.
And
yeah.
All of a sudden you go, what's up with this?
Yeah, and you go to a Vikings game, a football game, and the Coke is $9.25.
So you got a small.
My point is they don't need to charge that much in order to make a decent profit. That's a dishonest scale in my mind.
I don't disagree. All right, verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity.
It's interesting that the unfaithful think that if they are duplicitous, that they're somehow going to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But not only do they not get ahead, they lose whatever it is that they have. The verse says that they are destroyed, literally destroyed. The Hebrew there means just, kind of this bang, this boom, and in terms of being destroyed. They don't even maintain, they actually lose everything by their duplicity, whereas the integrity of the upright guides them. What do we mean by that? What we mean is that when you are filled with integrity, that means you are filled with the mind and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that integrity is going to guide you in fuzzy decisions to make the right decisions and then to know how to make those decisions the right ones if they are fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
And so your integrity guides you. You're going to see the danger and be able to avoid it because of your integrity and your connection with the Holy Spirit.
All right. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath.
It is.
Righteousness delivers from death.
Because wealth doesn't matter on the judgment day.
Of course it doesn't.
All right.
Let's move on. The righteousness of the blameless make their path straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness.
Yeah, it really almost a repeat of verse 4
mm-hmm.
and a repeat of verse 2. So, again, the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them. When you walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to inform your decisions and is going to inform how you lead your company, and you are going to find your paths being straight.
All right, this is an interesting one, Bill. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing.
Where did you? Cause
isn't
I want,
that verse 7?
Where is it? Verse 7?
Verse 7.
Yes, I'm sorry. My version says it a little bit differently. That verse, I was actually putting a blog post out on that, and I didn't finish it. Isn't that an interesting verse?
It's very interesting.
That hope placed in mortals dies within them. Is your hope in man?
Right.
Right? Is your hope in our political system?
No.
Is your hope in Hollywood?
No.
Is your hope in your business leader? Is your hope in your—
Jesus. That's it.
That's the only hope, right? Any other hope in any other man, regardless of position, man or woman,
mm-hmm.
regardless of position or whatever power they have, your hope's going to die with them when they die.
With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape.
Yeah. Gossip.
Oh, okay.
Gossip, right? And so when you run a business or you're leading a business, you do have to be careful about what you say about other people in order to make sure that your position as a leader is not tarnished, that you don't create a dishonest scale by favoring one person over another. You know, we have in this turnaround that we're doing right now, it's a $27 million healthcare company that we're turning around. The former HR director had different deals with almost everybody on staff. Different little nuances in their offer letters. And it amounts to a dishonest scale. We're having a hard time figuring that out.
Wow. All right. In verse 13, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret.
Yeah. Righteous people know how to keep a matter private, not mm-hmm. just secret, but they have an understanding of what's private and when it should remain private and when it should be made public. whistleblowers sometimes have to make things public. The righteous know how to keep things private when needed.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14, then we'll go to break. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors.
Yeah. You know, and when you apply that to a business, if you don't have the right guidance in a business, your business is going to fail. And by right guidance, I'm talking about legal guidance, financial guidance, accounting guidance. You need business, just general business consulting, and you need a solid bank who can help you as well.
Yeah.
There's a set of trusted advisors that every business owner should have.
Mm-hmm. What about when the trusted advisors are wrong?
Well, that's why you actually compare what they say to each other, and you choose your advisors carefully. And sometimes you also set up an advisory board who can give you some more advice and some more input.
Sounds like a lot of advice and a lot of check writing.
But you know what? It's so valuable.
Is it?
It really is. It's some of the cheapest checks you'll ever write.
Okay. All
right. It really is.
Yeah. Bill English, we'll continue our conversation. It's 16 minutes after the hour. When we return, we're going to keep digging into Proverbs chapter 11. Be back in a minute. I could listen to that for a while.
Yeah, who is that? Do you know?
Mr. Tommy Emmanuel.
Tommy Emmanuel.
Tommy Emmanuel.
Tommy Emmanuel.
Yes.
Okay, I like it.
I do too. Virtuoso.
That's just one guitar, right?
One guitar.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my, he's talented.
Called the Tall Fiddler. That's the song. That's a song called the Tall Fiddler.
Oh, and is he like 5'8" or is he 6'8"?
Yeah, he's 5'8". But he met a fiddler who was tall.
Oh, okay.
And he was inspired, so he wrote the song.
Very cool.
I know a lot about Tommy Emmanuel.
Do you?
I pretend to.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're talking to Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. We're running through Proverbs 11, a little Bible study for you this morning on the way to work or as you're getting ready for work or your day. We last left off at verse 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in pledge is safe.
Boy, I tell you what, I have seen business owners destroyed by disobeying this verse, where you go in and you sign for the debts of someone else. They normally sign for the debts of their children, especially in business. So just one example, a very successful man in business, his son comes along and says, hey, Dad, I want to get into apartments and I want to get into real estate. I need a few million to put the down payment on this big real estate complex. Dad says, okay, I'll sign on your behalf. Son runs it into the ground. Dad loses everything he has. Son loses everything he has. And they lost the relationship, too, because of the conflict. You do not want to sign for the debts of other people.
All right. 16, a kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what that means is that when you are ruthless, you may get the material things, but you'll lose the relationships and you'll lose the respect of others. Kind-hearted woman, being the contrast to the ruthless man, is one who gains honor. And honor in the scriptures, especially in Proverbs, is held as a much higher value than wealth.
Okay. 17, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves.
Yeah, really a restatement of verse 16. So those who are kind are going to bring things back on themselves, like honor, trustworthiness, the intangibles of life that you cannot buy, whereas cruel people are going to maybe get wealth, but they'll probably in the end also experience the same crudility that they gave to other people.
Crudility. I like that word.
You know, it's a big word.
I know. 19, truly the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death.
Yeah, because when you pursue evil, you're not pursuing God. And when you're not pursuing God, you're eventually going to die, both physically and spiritually. And there are a lot of people who pursue evil. There are just some people who are just downright, I like sin, I like evil, and I'm going for it. And those are the people who are going to find death probably sooner in life than what they most normally would.
Okay, William here. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Start with the first sentence. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse. So people who are enemies of the cross, he detests.
And perverse hearts. So perverse there would mean to take something good and use it for evil. Okay, evil really is the perversion of that which is good when you stop to think about it. So those whose hearts take something good and turn it into evil, the Lord detests. So what would be an example of taking something good and turning it into evil? It would be taking the innocence of a young girl and using her for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. It would be taking hard-earned money of an elderly couple and stealing it from them in a scam and using it for your own benefits.
Okay. 21, be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free.
Right. In the end, there is a judgment day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the righteous go free, we go to heaven, and the evil do not, they go to hell.
Okay. 22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion.
Boy, have you ever seen a beautiful woman in Hollywood, and there are some, who just out of their mouths pour this gushing, slimy, horrible, perverse stuff. That's what I think of. A beautiful woman who shows no discretion. They don't show discretion in terms of their sexuality. They don't show discretion in terms of what they say, who they injure, how angry they are, all of those things.
Okay. Let's talk about greedy and selfish people. You say they're hated at large by people, while generous people gain love and respect.
Where are you? Oh, verse 23.
Yeah.
Okay.
I jumped ahead a little bit just for time's sake.
Okay.
Verses 23 to 27.
Yeah, the desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. The generous person will prosper, and the people curse the one who hoards. This is really 26. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Look at what is equated with hoarding is the unwillingness to sell. Not just the acquiring of what you have, but when it's in the best interests of some other people as well as your own interest, if you're still unwilling to sell, that's also considered hoarding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't get that from the parables in the New Testament, but you do get it here. If you accumulate for your own good or if you have it and you're not willing to sell, both are hoarding and both are detested by God.
Okay. I have a vintage 8-track I'm trying to sell, but no one wants to buy.
Well, you know, there is a market thing there.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking.
Oh, you know, okay.
Verse 28, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf.
You know.
Hopefully we'll see some of those soon.
Do you trust in your 401k? Is that your security for your retirement?
Let's just say a little bit, yeah, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, because you like a little financial security. Let's tell the truth. We like a little financial security.
We do. But God should be our retirement plan because he has always promised to provide for our needs, and we should always plan to work until the day we die to be productive somehow.
All right. Whoever, in verse 29, whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise.
Boy, how do you bring ruin on your family, right?
Well, just what you talked about. In a way, the father lends money to the son who buys apartments. Everybody goes broke and the family's disbanded.
Yeah, the son brought ruin on his family,
mm-hmm.
right? The dad can bring ruin on his family. I know of a guy who's spending 33 months up in federal prison because of embezzlement.
Mm-hmm.
He brought ruin on his family.
Mm-hmm.
These are not good things.
No. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting when you go and you're managing your employees, oh, business owner or business leader, figure out what you can do to help them have a better professional life so that they can have a better personal life.
Mm.
To me, that's helping to save lives.
And in verse 31, which would be the conclusion of chapter 11, if the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?
Yeah, because the righteous, we mainly receive our due in heaven. So if whatever due we receive on earth is just a foretaste for heaven, whereas the ungodly, this is all they got.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anything else.
Yeah. What a great little Bible study there with you, Bill, on Proverbs chapter 11. That might be something you're going to want to review today. Open your Bible, go to chapter 11 of Proverbs and review what we just discussed, and it will bring you wisdom. Bill, thanks so much for being in.
You bet.
It's 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. My friend and co-host of Real Recovery, George P. Fraser, is going to be coming onto the program at 20 minutes to the hour. It is 31 minutes after the hour. I always like a little Earl's breakdown any day of the week. We're going to take a little break for news. Paul Perreault is going to take care of that. And then George P. Fraser is going to be with me, co-host of Real Recovery. We're going to have a very interesting conversation. Be back in a minute. Twenty-four minutes until the top of the hour, or I should say about 3 minutes away from me talking to my friend George Fraser, who appears to be on the studio line already. We don't know that for sure, but he might be on. Is he on? We don't know. All right. But until then, I'm going to go to Banning Leapshire, just because that's a fun name to say. The deeper our roots in Christ go, the more we trust God. The problem is many of us don't want to completely trust God with our lives. He says more.
The Lord's going after our trust in that issue. We just don't trust Him. And that is the big lie that the enemy sells to people. You can't trust the Lord. You can't trust Him with your heart. You can't trust Him with your dreams. You can't trust Him with the vulnerable areas of your life. And it's in our places of weakness that we learn He is trustworthy. And so the enemy lies to us, and as believers, we don't say it out loud. We don't say, like, you can't trust God. But that is what we struggle with. So I think that in order to come out the other side with still a dream, you have to learn to trust Him in the hard times. And that's a difficult thing to do, but it's shaping an important thing.
That was Banning Leapshire. You want to hear that full interview, go to myfaithradio.com. But trusting Him in the difficult times is precisely what we're going to be talking about with George Fraser coming up in just a minute.
It's a question I get asked a lot. Should I tell my teen about the mistakes in my past? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. You and I made a lot of mistakes when we were growing up. Some were small and stupid. Others were bigger than we realized. So, should we share with our kids some of these secret mishaps? Or will that simply lead to an excuse for them to repeat the cycle? Well, in my experience, I've found that honesty about the past actually leads to a stronger relationship. Kids will know you're not perfect, and you can share the real regret you feel for some of your poor choices. I think you'll find that honesty will go a long way for you and your teen.
Parenting Teens isn't for the faint of heart. Strengthen your parenting muscles with Mark Gregson's free two-week boot camp called Tough Guys and Drama Queens at freeparentingcourse.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 22 minutes until the top of the hour. George P. Fraser is the co-host of Real Recovery, and we produce award-winning episodes week after week. I was reading recently that more and more companies are allowing people to bring their dogs to work, where they're calling them dog-friendly offices, and I'm sure George would bring his dog to work if he actually had a job. Good morning, George.
You know, and Bob could join our interview at any time here, Bill. So, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. So, I had a very interesting impact audio today by Banning Leapshire. What a name. He was talking about how you can really seem to trust God when you are the most broken and the weakest. Interesting conversation. What are your thoughts on
it? Sounds like it. Yeah, it's kind of a fallback position, isn't it?
It kind of is. But, I mean, you've been asked, or God has put you in a position where you've had to trust Him more than ever lately.
Well, at least, you know, we're aware of that, yeah. And for me, I always went to God when everything else failed, even though I would tell you that I would do it differently. And I know that I've had faith, like I know Jesus is God's Son, and, you know, that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus, because He's the only one who can forgive your sins. But, gosh, to actually trust Him, that's a whole different deal.
Mm-hmm.
George, and that's what I'm working on right now,
yeah,
is being aware of that.
Well, because prayer generally flows out of an awareness of our needs. I mean, your needs have been significantly greater lately with the diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. But boy, hasn't the power of prayer been instrumental in changing that diagnosis?
Yeah, right now I'm disease-free. Except for the mental part.
And I can't help you with that.
Tell you, Well, no, you know, and it's like that's always been a lifelong problem. But I think for me, what I realize is this has been a great blessing for me. And now that I have the blessing, I hope it goes away permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can get out and worry about something else, right?
Right. Now, we always, when we pray, it's always, we're always relying on God's mercy, aren't we? And yet, as Christians, when we do go to God in prayer, we really expect answers. We go with a sense of expectancy, don't we?
Oh, I always do.
I do, too.
And I want the answer to be what I want.
Of course.
Our good friend, as Austin Hill used to say when I'd call in the morning, our good friend Tim Keller says that God answers every prayer exactly as we would if we had the information he does.
Mm-hmm. George, when you go to God in prayer, do you find yourself more seeking answers for George, or are you trying to just seek after God himself? And has that changed since your cancer diagnosis?
Wow. That's a friendly conversation. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah,
That's a really good question.
I did show prep.
It's still more about me. But then I get quicker to knowing God for knowing God. Keller talks about that too, that it's not about getting things from God. It's knowing Jesus for who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm quite there yet. I mean, I'm making the progress because for me what it is, when I do get what I want, when I do get the things, they're not good enough, so I still need to seek Christ because everything else comes short. But it has moved up on my agenda line, no question.
George, can
that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Can we honestly pray to God to be delivered from something if it's a really scary situation, if we're not really willing to obey him and walk in his ways? I know it's early for you.
Am I talking to Bill Arnold here?
Yes.
You know what? That's a really good question. I think I've said that already this morning.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's not a merit because we're doing the right thing. It's a merit because we've accepted him and realize our sin. So it's a gift, just like salvation is. And I don't think there's a quid pro quo to where I'm doing the right thing, so God's going to answer my prayer the way I want him to.
Okay. Now, so does God bring a trial into a person's life so he will teach us to obey him more on a deeper level, maybe to rely on him more? And haven't you gotten to know God in a deeper way since you've had this trial in your life?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So God's totally sovereign, so he allowed it. And he allowed it for his good purpose. And for me, it has been a true blessing. My faith, I realize now that what I always believed is true. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is, I don't know, Bill, like January, I got diagnosed in December. January, I'm on the way out. What are we, we're thinking 8 to 12, maybe months.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had the pool at 6. I don't know what you had.
Yeah.
But what I realized is, and this came from God, I believe, because I couldn't do it. George, if I had told you when you were 27 years old after 3 failed treatments that you'd get sober and be sober for 30-plus years, get to work with guys, and then get lung cancer at age 60 and go home to heaven, you would have been high-fiving everybody at how grateful you were. That changed it. It instantly changed it to where I was going to go home, and I'm going to see my parents again and, my dogs and a lot of people that have passed away, and I know you've lost some, and I don't know. It's like going on a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can tell you is what we believe is true because God showed up. And the big thing for me out of this deal is we got to get the word out 100% about Christ because I thought about what if you die with a Christless eternity?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bill, you were there when they told me I was stage 4. I don't want to say it was awful because that's not even close to being a correct term. It's totally devastating. It's like you fall off a cliff. It's like everything you've known is out the window. And the worst part for me is I'm not going to be around anymore. That you guys are going to talk about stuff, and I'm not a part of it.
Mm-hmm. We're already doing that, though, George.
That was awful.
Yeah. Well, let me take a break. When I come back, I want to ask you about sharing your hope and joy that you have, because, you know, you've been influenced by pastors and teachers on Faith Radio, Chuck Swindoll being one of them. One of his favorite lines is, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. And you, my friend, have responded spectacularly. I've been very inspired, uplifted, all those kind of words. So let me take a break, and when we return, more with George Frazier in just a minute. All right, we are back. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. We're speaking to George P. Frazier, co-host of Real Recovery, longtime friend and longtime sober man who, with 32 years of sobriety, is here. 33. Thanks for correcting me. And now is dealing with a cancer diagnosis, which you had about over a year ago, and it was stage 4. And now the doctors have said you're cancer-free. And when the doctor gave you that that report, he said, I understand you're a man of prayer, almost like he was aware of it, too, that something bigger than just medicine has helped you to this place that you're in right now.
Yeah, well, you know, you were there at the beginning, and Dr. Mark Sofeld said, I can't operate on you because it's spread, but I can pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, surprisingly enough, you know, I think about that now. That sounds a little lame. And that I would like you to take this out, and we could pray that the operation goes well. But at the time, we had real peace. In fact, Dr. Paul Wallen, who I know is on your show occasionally, is a dental expert, took a picture of us, Dr. Sofeld and me, and I've got it on my phone, and I look surprisingly happy, which might be a reflection of a lack of intelligence. I don't know, but I think it was the grace of God.
Yeah. Now, George, I must say your attitude has always been spectacular. I've always loved you as a person. I've loved your sense of humor. I've loved the way you've always taken whatever life circumstances you've had and kind of been able to be playful with it. So, how would you counsel a fearful person? Maybe they got something in the last couple of weeks or a chunk of bad news, and they're a person of faith. How would you counsel them?
Wow. I didn't know I was be dealing with Mike Wallace this morning. Now that's, you know, once again, Bill, you hit it the important thing. I don't know. I'll just tell you what happened. When I get overwhelmed and I can't do it, it's probably the last resort because I try to do it myself. I turn it over to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I don't know. As I said on the earlier part, it came to me from God that I'm going to go home. Now, mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I got better. And now, I guess I have more fear, which is funny because I want to live now. And I didn't think that was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how would I counsel somebody? I'll tell you, the best counsel we have, go to Jesus, the guy, you know, the God that created the universe. Let's start there and realize that you don't have the equipment or the talent to do this.
Yeah.
This is way bigger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
But, and what happens is, for me, he showed up. And, yeah, I was happy. I mean, the thing for me is, and you know, length of sobriety isn't that important, but it is 33 years. We'll get back. The fact that she got sober, I mean, I thought I'd die in my 20s in a really embarrassing situation that probably had huge legal consequences and would be on the news so everybody could see it. And I got the gift of sobriety.
Yeah. George, you hit a tree going 90 miles an hour in a car. You shouldn't be here.
Yeah. It's a telephone pole. My mom's brand new Coupe de Ville with 500 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah, I got grounded for that one. But
I bet you did.
I I shouldn't, and there were a couple overdoses. But, Bill, you know what the great thing is? Billy Graham, who we all loved, passed away last week, and if it wasn't for his book, Peace of God, and KTIS, Chuck Swindoll, the Georgia wouldn't be sober.
That's true.
Probably not saved.
Yeah. All right.
And I think, go ahead.
Speaking of being saved, and we've just got a couple minutes left, if you're driving in your car right now and you're listening to us having this conversation about being saved, and maybe I'll just ask you, George, how does a person who lacks faith, how does he get it? How do you start experiencing this joy that you're talking about and this peace that you're talking about?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
Pray to God to give you the peace. Here's the deal. With whatever time I have left, I'm pressing the salvation button a lot harder than the recovery button. And here's why. You're going to die. And something is going to happen to you that will get your attention that you can't do anything about, that you're not equipped to handle, or somebody in your life. And then you have to do a fast calculus on what is important, all the big questions. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to weather the storm. If you don't, not only are you going to go to hell, the remaining time you have on earth is going to be hell-filled. It's going to be awful. And for Christians out there, just my experience, when it happens, you're going to take a major hit. It's going to be awful. And you're scared and frightened, and then you realize that God is sufficient, and he is who he says he is. And, Bill, the greatest thing out of this is I didn't see God, but he showed up, and it's like I know everything I believe is true.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, George, seeking the Lord and his face every day is the goal. That's the way I think we're going to best overcome all of our fears. And your story is so inspiring to me, and I just love you as a friend, and I'm so appreciative of God bringing you into my life, and I look forward to lots more ministry together. So thanks for being on the show.
Oh, Billy, I feel the same way about you. Thanks for having me.
Yep. All right, have a great day. It is 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap up the show.
Well, my bills are getting higher and my paycheck is getting lighter, but I'll take it a day at a time.
Feel free to stop by on your way to work. The Earlier Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. If the front door is locked, use the secret knock.
It's not just information, it's transformation.
So much of today's news is negative, and it doesn't put your focus in the right place. And Faith Radio, even if it might be something negative, the spin is that we ultimately trust God and that he is in control. And it helps us to pray for those places that are struggling versus being focused on the negative. It will change your focus just to get your day started on the right directions.
Highlighting real hope every day. Faith Radio.
Special thanks to my friend George Fraser for coming on the show this morning, and also to Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. I sure enjoyed dissecting Proverbs chapter 11. That's a great chapter. Our friends in Hartford are looking out for a significant snow event that's going to be happening today. Stay safe. Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport is apparently the best in North America once again for airports that serve 25 million to 40 million in that category. That is a nice airport, I have to admit. As we are wrapping up our day here this morning, stay tuned throughout the day. We've got a lot of great programming coming up today. Susie Larson will be at 3 o'clock and Carmen LaBurge at Connecting Faith at noon. So we've got a lot of great programming. I'm going to leave you with Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." That is today's show. So glad you joined us this morning. Thanks for listening, and I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.